Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Well, it's just great to be here. And, it is weird. Be praying for us. We're starting the semester up here. I think Jerry and Vanderbilt, they're already going. I mean, we got different schools starting back at different times. Coach K, how you doing? It's good to see you. But we're so excited about what God wants to do in college students. We at this church, we believe in college students. We believe in the next generation. We say it 100 times. We're going to still keep saying it because we believe it. We're believing our campus ministries are going to a new level in 2015. That's what we're in right now, right? 2015. We're believing for great things in we're also believing to go to new campuses that we've never gone to before. We're believing this semester to start something in UT Knoxville, UT Chattanooga, and potentially go up to Southeast Missouri State, which actually isn't that far away from here. And we're just believing that even we're just going to take our 2 fish and 2 loaves and just believe in faith and go and share the gospel, because we do know that we're called to reach every campus in every nation. So we got a lot of work to do. Amen. All right. Well, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get into this message. And I'm excited to speak to you guys tonight. Lord, I just thank you so much, Lord, for your presence. Lord, I thank you for your glory, for the riches of your glory. Lord, I thank you tonight that, God, we're able to look into your word and get a word that I believe is going to be a word that's going to be one of the bedrocks in our heart when we go through trials and struggles and we face suffering. Lord, I pray that tonight, every single person, when we leave here, we live equipped and prepared for a storm and for suffering, and that we will be ready for it, and we will be ready to really just honor you in the difficult times of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, like Pastor Goti said, I'm just so thankful for her and her leadership in the Every Nation, the new NLI. I'm taking that, and it's just been wonderful. And you know, one of the things that we're going to be looking at is, I don't know who's like done the whole Bible reading plan in a year thing. Like, you read the whole Bible in a year? Yeah, I'm like on my app on my phone, I'm like 83%. Complete. I'm almost done with that. I'm really excited. I've been working like almost a year at it, and I'm like, I'm going to get there. And I love that app, just because it tells you, you know, where you're at, right? And that's a great way to read the Bible. That's a great way to learn about the word. But I like throwing in, like, I'm going to read the whole Bible in a year, but then I like slowing it way down, like to almost, we're just going to sit on a passage and just not move very quick. And I think that's really what the heart of this next series is going to be like. We're not going anywhere. We can camp out a little bit. And we can actually get something out of 2 Corinthians, because 2 Corinthians is full of meat that we need. One of the things I love about Paul wrote 2 Corinthians. And Paul is one of the apostles. He wrote most of the New Testament. He was incredible. In the early church, if you don't know who he is, go and read about him. He's amazing. But the thing about Paul in the New Testament is Paul like was kind of a business guy. He kept his face up. You know, he was focused. You know, I'm here for a mission. Hey, look, this needs to happen. Let's get this in order. So a lot of his letters are kind of like that. It's like, okay, get this in order. Do this. Here's what grace is. You know, you foolish Galatians, you know, on and on it goes. He was on point. But 2 Corinthians is different. 2 Corinthians is personal. It's like, you know, one of the things that I love is being around people that have, like, you know, they're kind of like a little bit older than me. They fought in some battles. They've gone through some stuff. You know, like, I would love to sit down with like a couple former presidents, you know, and just listen to them in a closed room where they untie their ties. They kind of unbutton you and they sit down. They don't care about their posture. They're just chilling, right? And they're really just They're not speaking to anybody. They know it's a safe environment, and they're just telling it the truth. You know, they're just letting it out. Don't you like that? I love that about just thinking. I would love to be a fly on the wall and some just to hear some of Pastor Rice's stories from back in the day, right? I just love that. I love reading presidential biographies and just studying that because, you know, after they've gone through that season of being president, it's funny, their stories of looking back on kind of what they've been through. And what I believe that 2 Corinthians offers us is it offers us a Paul where he's maybe a little bit more comfortable. He's kind of like sitting down and just talking to you. And there's a little bit more freedom there. There's a little bit more just honesty. He's not just about business. And so what we're going to be doing the next, I don't know, 13 weeks is we're going to be going through chapter by chapter, week by week. And my challenge to you is take the challenge of saying, you know what, every week, I'm going to read that chapter a couple times. I'm going to think about it. I'm going to think about it like Paul's talking to me. Or he's just kind of, he's chilling out. He's not really, you know, just getting down to business. But he's wanting to communicate something. He's being personal. And see what God shows you through that. Because Paul gives us an incredible amount of things. And then here's another thing I want you, as we get into this, I want to give you some context. Is 1 Corinthians, Paul had business to do with the Corinthian church. The things were not going right, okay, to say the least. There was sin in the church, and it had to be dealt with. And so Paul brings, I mean, he's firing. I mean, he comes with his ammo, and he's just, this is what's wrong. This needs to be corrected. You need to get this right. This is not the way things are supposed to be. He comes really strong. And there's some people that don't really like that. He came so strong in that church. There's some opposition to his forthrightness. Have you ever been there where you knew something was wrong and you actually were right on it and you got kind of condemned for it? Am I the only one? I know many of us, probably all of us, we've been in a position where there's been a time where we were saying, you know, we confronted something and it somehow came back on us. Like we were the bad person. Paul experienced that, and and before he writes this letter. The Corinthian church is not his favorite church. This is like the church that gives him a lot of problems. And really is frustrating him. And even more than that, there were people in the church that were so angry at Paul and the fact that he was confronting sin that they started to kind of create and say things about Paul. And one of the things they tried to do is they tried to diminish his apostleship. They tried to say, you know what, Paul really isn't the kind of apostle. He's not a real apostle. He's not, I mean, look at his life. This guy gets persecuted like nobody else. You get persecuted like that? No. Well, yeah, I don't think that's what an apostle shouldn't be in jail all the time. An apostle shouldn't be just, you know, going up and you know, being so strong. That's not what an apostle should be. And so Paul has these enemies in the Corinthian church that have made his life difficult, made it frustrating, and made it really difficult because they've said that suffering, that he suffers too much, that suffering isn't part of being an apostle is. Do you see how messed up that is? He's saying that the very thing where he stepped out in faith to preach truth and been confronted with persecution is actually the thing that disqualifies him from ministry. That's nuts. And that's what's happened between the first letter of Corinthians and the second letter of Corinthians. is that he is getting, you know, just really run off just because, you know, you're not an apostle. You don't, you suffer. You've been in jail too much. There's better, there's more cleaner apostles out there who have a better record than you. They're not as messy maybe as you are. And so Paul's dealing with that, like, frustration of you've like come against my authority that God gave me. You're diminishing the ministry that God's done through me. And so as we read and start 2 Corinthians, we have to understand that he was speaking to a people that many had repented by this time. But there was still a contingent that didn't really like him. And really, you know, there's that residue of pain there. Of, you know, for me, I mean, it's like when there's certain kind of pain and betrayal that comes. It's like, you know what? I want to distance myself from you. I just kind of want to, just for my own sake, I don't have time for that. I'm going to go get away from that because I got enough other things that are problems in my life. I'm just going to move on. But Paul, here's the thing. Paul writes this letter to the Corinthians after he wrote, you know, this strong rebuke in the first letter. He writes this other letter, 2 Corinthians, and he's personal about it. He opens up his heart to the very people that had hurt him the most. Isn't that amazing? He opens up his heart to the very people that hurt him the most. And so when we read this book, we need to think about that. That needs to be on our mind. We need to, as we start reading. And so my encouragement to you is that as we start this, you would spend the rest of this week just looking at this first chapter. We're not going to read the whole first chapter this week. We're going to read a section of it. But I want you to think about where Paul was at. We've all suffered betrayal. We've all suffered frustration. And it's always hard to kind of go back to that relationship that's caused us pain. But here's Paul stepping out and being personal and really opening his heart to this church. And so what we're going to do is, since, you know, it's Wednesday, it's been, you know, a long week, we're eating food again. And sometimes, you know, in the winter, you know, we eat like clam chowder and broccoli and cheese soup. And about this time of the night, things get, you know, we can get a little tired, right? Sometimes, maybe. I know I can. And I'm standing up. So I don't want to, you know, just hold that all to myself. So what I want us to do is my good friend Ron in the back, he's going to throw up the scripture and we're going to all stand up. Just because it's fun to stand sometimes. And we're going to read this scripture together. How does that sound? I love that. Awesome. Here we go. Yes. All right. We can just all read it out loud. Blessed be the God of our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in the Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort. Suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we hope that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. That's the word of the Lord. You guys may be seated. The greater our suffering, the greater his comfort. He said, and that's the thing that's been ringing over and over in my mind as I've studied this verse. The greater our suffering, the greater his comfort. See, God has this like bank that we can draw from. But really, we if we don't suffer, really, we don't really draw much from it. But there's comfort there that we can find in no other place. And really, there's something that happens inside of us when we embrace suffering that can come from no other source. See, I think sometimes what we do with suffering is we'll say, you know, God's teaching me a lesson, right? God's teaching me a lesson. I don't know what that lesson is, but I don't see my friends suffering, right? Or we'll say, you know, man, I've sinned or I've done something wrong. What have I done wrong to deserve this? I don't deserve this. I'm a good person, right? I don't deserve this suffering that is unique and individual to only me, right? Have you ever been there? I've been there. Why am I suffering with this? What we find with Paul is really cool. Paul gives space for suffering. He doesn't explain it away. He doesn't say that it's a bad thing, that we should just like forget it, move on from it. It's not good. He actually gives us space to actually embrace it. I remember a couple months ago, Pastor Bruce, who I love his forthrightness, right? I just love how, and he was saying one time in a meeting, he said, he was talking about embracing suffering. And he was saying how sometimes we want to squirm out from under the weight of the suffering we're under. And we miss what God wants to do in our heart in that place. And I believe that really, if we will embrace suffering, we will gain so much wisdom. We will gain so much value. And I believe that season will pass. I don't believe it'll last forever. But we need to be able to approach it and be able to embrace that kind of suffering. The second thing that I want us to consider about this passage is that we can embrace God's comfort. And God's comfort is special. When we're in a season where we're in suffering and it just doesn't seem like there's anything that can really remove that pain from our life, there's a place, there's only one place we really can go that we can really be satisfied, and only one person who can really understand the pain of which we're going through. And that's why I believe having a personal devotional life is so valuable, of not giving up time in the Word and spending time with the Lord, because really in seasons where we are suffering is really where we have the most opportunity to understand what Christ actually went through. We can embrace suffering because Christ embraced suffering. Jesus embraced suffering on the cross for us. See, what Paul was explaining to the Corinthians is that he wasn't doing anything wrong by suffering. That didn't diminish his apostleship. Really, honestly, that really showed that he was following Christ. Because he was following Christ, just like Christ suffered, he was suffering. And when we do that, when we say, you know what, I'm going to follow Christ, I'm going to follow, and whatever that looks like in our situation, we gain so much there. And when we go to God in our quiet place, when we get away, there's that comfort can come, and it'll satisfy us unlike food. It'll satisfy us unlike another relationship. It'll satisfy us in a deeper place than we could ever be satisfied, because we can know God at a deeper level. I know some of the things that we're going through, and I'm 30 years old. I haven't suffered that much, right? I know many of us have suffered incredible things. And I don't want to make light of that. But we do have an opportunity when we're faced with a situation. We have an opportunity to go deeper with the Lord and to go into this deep well that He wants to give us. And so my encouragement to you is to embrace that. To not run from it, to not squirm your way out, to not kind of even escape. Some of us escape. We're like, you know what, I'm just going to live in this fairy tale. I'll find a book and that character will be me. And I'll just imagine my way out of the situation that I'm currently in. And I think all of us have been there where it's just like, you know, where our situation is so frustrating that like we start thinking about the Caribbean. And it's just like, now I'm living on this island and, you know, I have all these great friends and I'm 60 pounds lighter and, you know, I'm loving life, right? I know I've been there. But really, we can gain so much more from escaping our issue. And it makes a better story. At the end of our life, when little kids are asking, what are the things that you've gone through? It makes it a lot better story than saying, you know what, I just escaped into my own little fantasy world and, you know, play my video game and I did my thing and I didn't really have to deal with the real reality of where I was at. And the other thing that we have to confront other than escapism is really bitterness, unforgiveness, and cynicism that can come with suffering. I mean, I know this isn't a really exciting message tonight but I'm excited. I'm excited because I know the answer, you know? I'm excited that I know that my suffering has a limit. And it has an expiration date. And so, you know what will happen if we, and really what we have as Christians that's amazing. It's like an armor, if we'll use it correctly, is that when we find ourselves and we've been in a season or even like a long, long, long season where we feel like, you know, this has just been suffering after suffering. People have hurt me. Well, we can get cynical, right? I mean, I'll be the first to admit, I can get very cynical and bitter. And the things that start spewing out of my mouth can become very dark. And the way that I approach just my situation and the problems, it's all through this lens that just sees the world as, well, you know, that might hit me. Or, you know, and I'm just trying to walk through this minefield and not get hurt, right? But that's not the way that God has called us to live. And although Paul starts and talks about, you know, hey, embrace suffering, he doesn't want us to stay there. He wants to get to this triumph of his glory. He wants us to move past that. And so when we find ourselves sitting in just kind of a stew of bitterness, sitting in a stew of frustration and unforgiveness, we need to give that to the Lord. That's why we need to embrace the comfort that God wants to give us. And that's really what is the only thing that can truly bring us out of that kind of frustration. And then the final kind of point I have is that really when we embrace the comfort that God has for us, this analogy might not work for you. It works for me. And I'll just share it with you. Because, you know, there's certain people like pick up on things that I don't pick up on. You know what I mean? Like they're sensing stuff. And I'm like, where did you sense it? So I kind of believe that we all have antennas that you can't see, right? And so I know this isn't true, but anyway, I just believe this is the picture I get is that when we suffer and we embrace it, and then when we embrace the comfort that God wants to give us, we actually get kind of like little antennas that help us pick up, oh, that person's really in pain. I can feel that. It might not be any pain that I've even felt before. I might not know anything about that kind of pain. There's all kinds of pain that I don't know about. But it doesn't mean that I can't be sensitive and aware to the pain that's going on around me. And what Paul keeps us from doing in this passage is he keeps us from just sitting and wallowing in our own pain. He keeps us from just suffering and, yeah, life's just hard and suffer. No, he doesn't let us stay there. He says there's a point to it. There's a value to it. And if we'll get what we can out of that suffering, we can actually get something that will take us where we need to go and will help other people that are right now suffering. The only thing, this is why the gospel is so amazing, is that the gospel offers us an understanding of what suffering is. It offers us hope for ourself, but it just doesn't keep us at ourself. It pushes us out to be helpers of people that are suffering. That's the cool thing about the gospel, is it doesn't keep us myopic and only concerned about our wounds and our pain. It pushes us out into a world, into people that are hurt and more victims and struggling with issues and bound up in things. It pushes us out and gives us antennas to know, oh, I see that. I can feel that. I might not understand it, but man, that doesn't mean I can't feel that with you. That's a beautiful thing about the gospel. That's a beautiful thing about the triumph of His grace, of His glory. The whole thing that you're going to learn, I'm just going to get cut to the end of what 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians is. You're going to learn about the triumph of His glory. Yeah. That He's coming to God's coming back. He's coming back to reign and rule. And that sometimes in the midst of our suffering can just seem like just an empty, you know, pie in the sky thought. But it's true. And there's hope there. And you know, really, I believe this is that if we do embrace others, we'll get a deeper well. As we continue, you know, one of the things that I've learned over this last season is, you know, some of you guys, I'm a campus minister at Tennessee State University, okay? White guy, okay? Didn't expect to be at TSU. I love TSU, though. I love these students, and I love that I'm a part of a church that believes in diversity. I'm proud to be a part of a church that would send a little white boy from Kingsport, Tennessee, to TSU and say, and not only just send me there, but send me there with faith that, Barry, you're going to do great. You're covered. You're great. You're going to do awesome. You got to know, I was kind of, I don't know. I don't know how this is going to go. But I'll tell you something is, you know, towards the end of last year, with all the Ferguson stuff coming out, my heart was just so burdened. I think most of us were burdened. Just cut to the heart. I was sick. I was literally sick. I hardly could get out of bed. And I remember just, you know, saying, God, what am I going to do? I'm on a campus that's predominantly African American. I have all these men that are in my life group and a part of my ministry or just that I know that are on campus and they're reeling and I know they're in pain. But I don't know anything about that. And so because I know this is, you know, I have suffered. I have been through some things. I do know that. And I do know that God's given me something that even though who I am in the physical doesn't mean that I can't empathize with my brothers and sisters. And so what I found myself doing is going up to people and preempting conversations. Just saying, hey, I know you're in pain. Talk to me. If you got a vent, vent to me. Texting people and saying, hey, I'm believing you. I believe black people matter. And come, if you got frustration, I'll be the white guy you can listen to, that'll listen to you. And I was so moved because people just kept coming up to me and calling me and talking to me. And I could see just kind of like, really? Like, I don't want to do that, but wow. And I believe all of us have that opportunity. We're all going to be presented with opportunities where it might not seem like it's similar to my background or my familiarity. But I can empathize because I have suffered, and I know what the end of the game is. I know what the source is. And so that gives me empathy, and that gives me hope, and that gives me security that we can fight. That we can be triumphant in whatever situation comes our way. And so what I'm excited for you guys. I wish I could be here. I kind of wish I was, but then I'm kind of excited about getting back to TSU. But I love Bethel. I love being here. But I do love going to campus and seeing college students reached and seeing being right there in the middle of everything. But I am excited for you guys. Because I do believe that this series, the glories of His grace. I'm sorry, I was saying another thing. The glories of His grace. There's glory for us. And I can't wait to hear. I know every single person in here is going to have a tremendous story. And if you don't think you're going to have a great story, then you're just foolish. If you're a Christian and you follow this word and you live your life under lordship, I'm telling you, your story is going to speak of the glories of His grace. It's going to. It's just a promise. It's going to happen. And so I got two kind of people I want to pray for. The first is, you know, whenever you talk about suffering, you don't have to say that word too many times before you know people are suffering here. We have people all around us that are suffering. They're right now in the midst of maybe the greatest trial of your life. And my word to you is, don't run from it. It's why we have life groups. It's why we have people, ministry team down in the front row. The truth is, you aren't created to carry your burdens alone. You just weren't. It's not meant for you to carry alone. So allow God's comfort to come in a patty package. Allow it to come in a fikri package. Allow God's comfort to come as you just open up about where you're at and the situation you're dealing with. A second group is those that, you know, you're not, you know, you've been through things. Right now, thank God, you're doing pretty good. I believe that this is a season where God wants to grow your antennas. He wants to grow your ability to know and to see the pain that's all around you that we are sometimes even unwilling to really acknowledge because of we've got too much, we're too busy for all that. And for you, I'm praying that God would help grow you, that you wouldn't just turn off your empathy and walk away, but that you would find yourself walking right into it and preempting conversations and saying, I know that you're struggling. I know that this is going on. I'm willing to listen. I'm willing to just vent to me. I'm here for that. I'm a willing person to be vented to. Those are the two people I'm praying that you would be ministered to. And so let me pray for you, and then I think we're going to take some time and specifically pray after that. But Lord, I just thank you so much, God, for your word. Lord, I thank you for the glories of your grace. Lord, I thank you that we know the end of the story. God, that you're going to wipe every tear. Lord, I just thank you that you're going to wipe every tear. And you're going to right every wrong. Lord, I know that some of us are burdened. We're overwhelmed. This 2014 seems to be going into 2015. And we're tired. And Lord, I'm praying, God, for those people, God, that are tired, worn out, exhausted from the fight. Lord, that they would find rest and comfort in you right now. Holy Spirit, I pray, God, that you would come right now and comfort those who need comforting. Lord, I thank you that you say you weep with those who you weep with us. You mourn with us. God, that you're not distant from our troubles and our sorrows. You're not far away from our pain. Lord, I thank you that Jesus embraced the cross for our sake so that we might have hope. I thank you that today we do have hope in a Savior. And Lord, I pray right now, God, that you would come and visit every hurting heart, every person that's just tired and hopeless right now. And Lord, I pray, God, for that second group. God, for those who are realizing, God, that there's more than just being a comforter. Lord, I just pray, God, that you would help us today to be comforters to those who are mourning. You would help us to be comforters that bring the comfort of the Lord. God, we thank you for that right now. Lord, I pray right now, if that's you, I just pray this with me. Lord, would you give me eyes to see? Would you give me ears to hear? Would you give me discernment to know and to see the pain that's around me? Lord, would you give me the right words to speak? And would you give me the right ears to hear. Lord, I thank you right now, God, just for renewing our minds, renewing our hearts. God, that we might be people who can bring your comfort into any situation. In Jesus' name, amen.